You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we get the latest on a Wisconsin case involving new DNA evidence that recently went back to court. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Yesterday, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman announced that he will not run for a second term next year. Gableman has served on the court now for 9 years. Robert Metzer joins us for the details of that and other top news from over the last week. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, and he's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. It's good to be back.
So Supreme Court justices have this 10-year term here in Wisconsin. They are elected. Justice Gableman, an incumbent. A couple people had lined up to race against him. Now they won't. He's not going to run again.
Yes. Gableman's election in 2008 was one of the most partisan, one of the most hotly contested, and really one of the ugliest Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. He managed to pull off a defeat of Justice Lewis Butler, who had been the state's first African-American justice. And it was the first time that an incumbent justice had been defeated in decades and decades. That happened after Gableman blanketed the airwaves with some very misleading claims involving Butler's work as a public defender. That led to a whole ethics complaint that was eventually dismissed by the Supreme Court, which deadlocked on it. So there would have been, you know, starting out as a, you know, in a campaign, I'm sure that all of these things would have been topics of discussion, and he would have had to go around the state answering these questions about that 10-year-old controversy. Who knows? I don't know what's in the guy's heart. There's probably a lot of reasons not to run for re-election, but I wonder if that wasn't a one factor.
And he's going to serve out his whole term, it sounds like. Sometimes there's the idea that if you know now, you resign early, maybe somebody can get appointed in advance. From his announcement anyway, plans to serve out the whole term.
Sure. So Gableman, I mean, understand Gableman as he's a conservative justice, and he's also a politically conservative guy. The candidates who have announced that they are running are both very much, you know, sort of on the liberal side of things. They both spoke at the state Democratic Party convention, for example. And so we just this morning had the announcement of another conservative who will seek the seat. But this, you know, at the least, this does give conservatives, sufficient time to field a candidate, though that candidate will not come with the name justice in front of their name, but probably a judge seeking to be elevated.
And, of course, the Supreme Court race is a nonpartisan race. They don't run under a party label. But nonpartisan is really pretty much in quotes, right? There are always Republican and conservative-backed candidates on one side and Democratic/liberal candidates on the other, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we would go through this every couple weeks, you know. I mean, yeah, they're nonpartisan, but who are they kidding? I don't know if it was always like this. I think that this may be in some ways an artifact of just sort of increasing political polarization in Wisconsin and in our nation. But at this point, it seems like it's just the barest fig leaf by which anyone even pretends not to be have a partisan affiliation. I don't, you know, there's legitimately are different judicial philosophies. People have different, you know, bring different ideas about what is appropriate, you know, interpretation of law, and so that's, you know, that is sort of fair enough as far as it goes. But yeah, I mean, in 2017, those seem to split quite cleanly along partisan lines.
We're talking to Rob Metzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, talking about some of the top Wisconsin news stories of the day. Let's move on. Now, President Trump visited the state on Tuesday. He was in Milwaukee. As part of that, he alluded to maybe many manufacturing jobs coming to Wisconsin. And now we're hearing rumblings about this company, Foxconn, from, I think, Hong Kong, looking at Wisconsin to build phones. What do we know about this?
Right. Well, I mean, we know that that there is no announcement. I know it will come as a shock to listeners that that the president may possibly have released some information that wasn't quite ready to be released. But as shocking as that is, that seems to be what has happened. But the day after, so Trump was in town. He talked about a very happy surprise very soon. The day after, the Associated Press was able to track down what it was that he was talking about. And it's Foxconn. So in January, this giant company, they manufacture iPhones and iPads, and other electronic devices for Sony, for other brands. They have, they employ about 1 million people in China, so it's a big company. In January, this company, Foxconn, had said that it is considering investing $7 billion in a U.S. factory that will produce display panels and will employ as many as 50,000 people. So that is the size of a small city. So, it's a very big deal. The thing is, it does not seem to be clear that that Wisconsin is going to end up being the site. That Foxconn had said they were looking at sites in Pennsylvania. The AP tracked down the fact that both Governor Scott Walker and Michigan Governor Rick Snyder this month had made visits to Japan, where the Taiwanese company also has offices. Appears, and maybe not. Maybe it's further along than what has been made public. But it appears that that there's some competition going on about who can provide the best sites and the best incentive packages for what would indeed be a very, very significant economic boost.
Yeah, I looked online, Rob. 50,000 would be the 13th largest city in Wisconsin, just edging out Sheboygan. This would be, if it was one plant really employing 50,000, that would be huge.
No doubt. A range of different jobs, right? And sometimes these things, I haven't studied the details myself. Sometimes there's a little bit of fuzzy math here. It would create 50,000 jobs.
Right. Does that mean, are they working directly in the factory or?
Right. There's sort of supply chain questions or whatever. But I mean, no way around it. It's a massive project. It would be a big deal.
But Foxconn has seen some controversy over the years for its factories mainly in China over human rights, worker suicides on plants, so they don't come without some baggage.
No doubt, they certainly have been, and there have been cases about workers exposed to harmful chemicals. In China, it is the norm that you know workers sort of live on campus and maybe. Far away from their homes and work in this factory in these sort of crushing conditions. It sounds horrible. It is not our American conception of a good life. Obviously an American plan is subject to American labor standards. I don't know that it would be quite so dire, but. It's a factory job there, and I think that the expectations and the pace may be fairly challenging.
I want to move on to one story at the national level now. The Republican health care bill has been in the news. Some senators working in private to draft this. We've heard Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican, made some comments about that earlier this week. What did he say?
Yes, so. Ron Johnson is part of the 13-member working group in the U.S. Senate that is supposed to be drafting the Republican health care bill, which, according to reports, they are hoping to pass this month before the July 4th recess. So Johnson was asked by a Bloomberg reporter whether he had seen the bill. He said he had not. The reporter asked if that concerned him, and he said yes. He later followed up, Johnson did, with a statement to the Wisconsin State Journal that said, quote, "This is incredibly complex, and from my standpoint, I will need a whole lot more information before I agree to vote yes on a bill." But what this really underscores is just how secretive the process of writing the bill has been. Johnson has made his whole career, his whole political political career on opposition to Obamacare, and he has repeatedly called it the greatest threat to freedom in our lifetime. I have not seen any political analyst who says that his vote is sort of up for grabs or that he is likely to vote no. He's very likely to vote for the bill. And still, the Republican leadership has not let him see the bill.
We'll leave it there for now. Rob, thanks for joining us, as always.
All right. Thank you.
That's Robert Menzer with USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to take a look back at some of the state's biggest news of the week.